on radio, streaming live on investtalk.com, and for our podcast subscribers. This is InvestTalk, above average investing for the average investor. InvestTalk is made possible by KPP Financial, a registered investment advisor firm serving clients throughout the United States. And now, KPP Financial President, Financial Advisor Steve Peasley.
Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to the Thursday edition of InvestTalk. It is October 22nd, 2015. I appreciate you being with me. We're all about improving the fortunes of average investor, trying to make it better, trying to make all of us better. We believe you're capable of above average investing. We really do. And that is avoiding the mistakes that the average investor is often guilty of that can cost real money. That's what we're trying to do. Part of it is not only picking really good companies and long-term outlook, but also try to avoid mistakes that can kill you just as fast or faster. And the problem extends beyond investing, really, and it can apply to everyday money life that every day. Earning money, saving money, paying bills, paying for education, banking. Now, we're all so busy. We are. We're so busy, a lot of people are taking shortcuts on paying their bills, which is not a problem in and of itself. And when I say taking shortcuts, you put it on auto pay. You pay it automatically. It just comes out of your check. You don't even look at it. That's the problem. You don't even look at it. You don't really realize what you're paying. You don't know what the rates are. You don't look at the bill necessarily. You just look at the deduction in your account. You don't make sure that you're paying what you're supposed to be paying, that the bill hasn't gone up for some unknown reason, maybe that it shouldn't. You know, and the same thing comes with the 401k contributions. When you first got hired years and years ago, you put it on autopilot and haven't paid attention to it. It's automatic. Maybe your salary's gone up. Maybe the contribution limits have gone up, and they have over the years. $500 to $1,000 every couple, 3 years, they raise it. Right now, the contribution for your 401k is $18,000. It's going to be $18,000 next year. And then a $6,000 catch-up amount, so it could be up to $24,000 this year or next year. And that's if you're over 50. Well, maybe if you're over just turned 50, maybe you should put more in to help catch up. So you can't just put it on autopilot. You have to think about it. Putting it on autopilot, is a danger. And that is the danger of never looking at it, just letting it ride. So now if it's been years since you considered your asset allocation, maybe that's a problem with your 401k. It's been those so many years that you may want to be more conservative, or you might want to be more aggressive. It doesn't really matter. You just need to take a look at it. Need to take a look at your contributions. What are you buying? Understand what you're buying in your 401k or your IRA. Understand what it does, why it goes up, why it goes down, what are the funds that you have. Now, of course, if we can help you get organized, maybe you have old 401ks you haven't rolled over into an IRA. Maybe you got so many accounts you can't keep track of them. Bring your questions to me. Maybe we can combine those accounts. Now, don't just ignore them into one IRA and just one 401k. Maybe you can't. Maybe you have to have a Roth IRA and a regular IRA. You know, I don't know. But have you looked at them? So give us a call. We'll talk about it. 888-99-CHART. Now let's take this question from our 24-hour listener line.
Hi, Steve. My name's Mike. I live in Akron, Ohio, and I listen on the podcast. The question is about earnings per share. I just finished your book, and one of the things that you talk about in evaluating companies is getting the earnings. And when I look on Yahoo Finance or any of these other finance programs, it's all about earnings per share, trailing 12 months. And I'm trying to figure out just what the earnings are for this current year. Should I be looking at the quarterly numbers or trailing 12 months, or which number should I look at? Thanks.
Well, if you're looking at the earnings per share, you want to know what the earnings per share over year and the growth or shrinkage of that. Trailing 12 months just means the last 12 months starting from last month backward. But really what you want to focus on is the earnings estimates for next year. And then compare that with this year. What's the growth rate of earnings and sales? That's more important, because that's how the market reacts to things. They react to things they see coming, not They look in their windshield forward, not in the rearview mirror when it comes to investing. So you kind of want, now I'm not saying looking backwards is not important, because you want to know about consistency of earnings and consistency of sales. Make sure they're consistent year over year over year, or they're growing, you know, if it's a growth stock. So when you're looking at earnings per share, you're looking at the estimated earnings per share for the upcoming year and the current earnings per share, and is there growth? And you can get those numbers almost on any financial website. There's lots of them that have those kind of numbers for you. 888-99 chart. Every decade is a milestone of sorts, but turning 40 should come with a special financial heads up. 10 things to know about money before you're 40. Now, I might not go through all 10, but we're going to try. That's one of our talking points. Also, entrepreneurs are on the decline over the last 10, 15 years. Did you know that? Let's discuss that. And maybe the Fed is right to go very, very slow on raising interest rates. Why should we? Remember, the Fed has said that they were going to raise rates this year. Of course, they always give themselves outs, and they haven't, and they may not raise rates this year. But why should they go slow with we have pretty low on the unemployment rate? And finally, I would like to talk about, there was an opinion piece article about Jim Cramer's, and everybody knows who Cramer is, and I'm not here to badmouth Cramer, because I don't think that serves us. But what does serve us is that because of his four sure winners, even in a bear market, 49 stocks he picked back 6 months ago, what have those 49 stocks done? And not because they've done poorly do I want to talk about this. I want to talk about some of the lessons from listening to gurus and tips and experts. If you've read my book, you'll know that I've said in there numerous times, experts are always wrong. You got to do your own homework. We'll talk about that too. 888-99-CHART. So what happened to the market today? We had a big update. Big update. It might be a turnaround day for the market today. If we have a follow through after this, it looks like we're in our year-end rally mode. We'll see. The Dow was up 321 points. That NASDAQ was up 80, and the S&P up 34. What makes me a little concerned about this is that everybody jumped on the news coming out of Europe by the ECB, Draghi, who said that they may do other things to boost their economy. And all of a sudden, our market liked that here. Now, what is interesting, you know, they've been buying €60 billion a month of bonds, like RQE when we did that. But it hasn't translated into a strong stock market for Europe as it did here. They've been doing that all year long, and they're going to continue to do it into next year. So they may do something else, and that's what they said. They may do something else. Now, there was no indication what it might be or when it might happen. But our market liked it. So I find today's big move a little suspect, because it's just on what they said, and they've done nothing really. And so I want to see if this has legs. Wouldn't surprise me if we give some of that back tomorrow. Would not surprise me in the least. But let's just take a look. You know, we're in the middle of our earnings season. So it's, earnings season, we're getting numbers out. And it's a mixed group. But the earnings are not very good when you compare them year over year. They will be pretty consistent, the expectations. Because the Wall Street gurus have downgraded expectations to the point to make sure that they do beat them. So they can pound the drumbeat of how good it is that they beat their expectations, when in fact the actual numbers are not that great. I'm registered investment advisor Steve Peasley. InvestTalk works better when you get involved. So please join us. Get through to us on the phone. If you're a podcast listener, we are live every weekday afternoon from 4 to 5 Pacific time. And if you'd like to call and talk directly, you can call 888-99-CHART. And it's always our anytime number. Let's talk to Bobby in Atlanta. How you doing, Bobby?
Hey, Steve. Good. How you doing?
Good. Thanks for the call.
What do you think on St. Jude Medical, STJ?
For some reason, I like, in general, the medical area for investing right now. Probably because I know there's a slug of us baby boomers, and I'm one of them, getting older and older and older, and we need more and more medical help. So I kind of like it. The confusing part about it, Bobby, is Obamacare and how it's going to impact the various medical sectors. So it's kind of confusing there, and so it's difficult. Now, St. Jude Medical develops cardiovascular medical devices for cardiac rhythmia and management and arterial fibrillation of the heart. Okay, so they're going to make $3.95 this year after making $4.12 last year per share. But next year, they're going to bounce back at $4.30. So very, very good. The sales have been falling, but very little. It's down 1% to 3% in the last three quarters. It's a big company, $17 billion. So growth was never more than 5%. So it's a very solid company, very solid. Now, it just had a recent, 2 days ago, it fell sharply, and my guess would be it was on earnings. Was that the problem, Bobby?
Correct.
Yeah, okay. And how bad were they? Was it just they missed by a penny or two?
I think, it was not big, but I think the biggest decline was because of the FX, foreign currency fluctuations. Dollar strength killed them. I mean, but if you do it like on a constant currency basis, they actually beat expectations.
Okay, so then that might mean I look at that as a possible opportunity, because it has nothing to do with their business model. It had everything to do with currency translations from business outside the country. So this fall of the last couple of days may spell an opportunity. It's right at support, Bobby. Right at support. Yeah. And it's not that expensive. It's a $61 stock. STJ is a symbol, everybody. A $61 stock, going to make $4.30. And so that's right around 14, 15 PE. That's not expensive. Great return on equity. Good, solid company. Mutual funds are net buyers in the last year. So I would look this up as a buying opportunity, Bobby.
Okay.
I got to get out or don't look at it anymore. No. You want to get something like this, big blue chip company, you want to buy it on weakness. Okay. You want to buy it when it's weak before it recovers. And I think this will recover.
All right. Okay. Perfect.
Thanks.
All right.
Thanks for the call, Bobby. Appreciate it. Now, you might want to wait a few days to make sure it starts the recovery process before you buy. That's the only thing I could suggest. Let's go to Bill in Hayward. How you doing, Bill?
I'm doing well, Steve. Thanks for taking my call. Appreciate it.
Thank you. Go ahead.
Okay, Steve. I'm a couple years away from retirement. I'm gradually looking at modifying my portfolio more towards income, mm-hmm. and trying to ramp up those types of investments. I'm looking at the symbol O, that's the Realty Investment portfolio that's on New York Stock Exchange. Just want to get your opinion, because I'm really going to need some more income when I hit those retirement days.
Okay. If you will hang on, I got to take a quick break, and I'll pick you up right after the break, so it won't be long. Hold on, Bill. Our InvestTalk number is 888-99-CHART. You can join us right now. I'd love to talk with you. This is InvestTalk.
Thanks again for subscribing to our podcast. What's wrong with this picture? A mutual fund shows an average return of 9%, but the individual mutual fund investor only gets 7%. Mutual fund shortfall. That's one of our talking points for Friday's podcast. Bring your questions and join us then.
888-992-4278. Bill, are you still there? Thank you for holding. I really appreciate it.
No problem.
Okay. O is the symbol for Realty Income Corporation. O. And it is a REIT, Real Estate Investment Trust. And for everybody out there, that means they pay 90% of their income to the shareholders in the form of a dividend. And if they do that, they don't have to pay corporate income tax. So that voids that. It's a really good REIT. Bill, it's growing 11, 12, 13% sales, 4 to 7, 8% in earnings, pays a 4.6% dividend. I think that dividend is very stable And that's what you were indicating. You wanted, you know, dividends, and you want them to be there. And this looks a pretty darn stable dividend. So for your purposes, as you transition to older age and you're looking for some income, this should be part. There's nothing wrong with this being part of your portfolio. Nothing wrong with it at all. It's a good, solid, one of the better REITs that are out there. Well, if it was paying a bill, I'll warn you. If it was paying 8, 9, 10% dividend yield, I would scare me, because I know that's not sustainable. You know, so it's paying a reasonable rate that should be sustainable.
Going forward, if I was holding that for long-term income, mm-hmm. are there any situations where you would want to abandon that? What circumstances that could arise where you would say, hey, you know, I really should be out of that, if there would be some?
Well, I, this is where I would get very nervous. If this thing takes off and it goes to 25, 35 PE, I would tend to want to cut it back, because I know I would like to capture some of that capital appreciation, because I know it's not sustainable. It cannot do that. It cannot keep that up. You know, so if you got really really extended on the values, I would tend to want to start to sell it. If it went the other way, Bill, it went down sharply, I would tend to want to buy some more. Because the dividend, especially if you're looking for the dividend, you know, that income, you know. But you don't want to be too active in these dividend paying stocks either. You don't want to be Mr. Trader and trying to get in and out and in and out. That's very difficult to do.
No.
You know, but you can
keep, hold it for the long term.
Yeah. So just keep it until it, unless it gets really out of whack, just hold on to it, you know. Okay? And I just, if you want, you're looking for income, I have a ETF a dividend list that, these are ETFs that just specialize on dividends. If you're interested in getting that list, it's about 5 or 7 ETFs that pay dividends. That's their focus. Send me an email and I'll send it to you. Okay? Appreciate it. You know, there's a number of stocks out there paying very high dividends, or very solid companies. And when I say very high, 4 or 5%, I know in people's mind they think very high. Oh, that's going to be 8, 9, 10, 12%. Those are unsustainable numbers and usually unrealistic. I'm talking about paying high dividends that are sustainable. There's a number of them out there that look good, look pretty darn good to me. Okay, let's go. We haven't even talked about one talking point today, and that was I've noticed that was I got some emails. Reviews on our podcast saying that we want to make more of an effort to get to them. 10 things to know more, know about money before you're age 40. I'm going to go through all 10. Your current savings rate and what you should have saved so far. Well, do you know the average 25 to 45 year old in there has less than $10,000 to saved up so far? You really, by the time you're 40, you should know that is under saving, and you need to get on the stick and start saving money, investing it. Number two, how much can you expect from Social Security? 48% of the people who hadn't retired yet will use Social Security as a minor part of their income. 36% will use Social Security as a major part of their income in retirement. But what's really disturbing is 60% of couples don't know what their benefit will be. By age 40, you kind of know how much you think you might be able to get. You got to start penciling that in. Don't live in ignorance. It's pretty easy to find out. Okay, and a couple more. How many retirement accounts should you have, or do you have? If they found that many people don't know how many retirement accounts they have, or that they have more than they can keep track of, you need to simplify that. By the time you're 40, you got to start simplifying that and really get on the ball, understanding what you're doing. How much money are you saving? How much are you investing? And how risky is your portfolio? Vast majority of people don't know how to measure the risk of their portfolio. And we have a tool on our website to measure that, help measure that for you. And you know, it scores you. It's very simple, very fast. It scores your risk, and you could take that score and compare it to the risk of the portfolio. And just so you know, the S&P 500, it has a score of about 80. So that tells you what's your score of your current portfolio, what's your score of what risk you want to take. At least it helps. That's the kind of thing you need to do. Okay? You can see a link to an article on this topic, the one I'm just talking about, on investtalk.com. We've reached the halfway mark, everybody. There's still plenty of time to join the discussion. 888-99-CHART. Okay, Jim Cramer came up with a list of 49 stocks 6 months ago and said these stocks will survive even a correction. And these are, you know, he thought they were the greatest stocks since, you know, whatever. And I'm not here to try to complain about Jim Cramer, but someone tracked those stocks and determined how well they did versus the S&P 500 over that period of time. He underperformed the S&P. The S&P was down 3 point something, and he was down 7. But the point of this whole thing is I'm sure everybody knows who Jim Cramer is. It's a very popular show about money. The point is, maybe we need to step back and learn some lessons about any experts that give lists. This list, in a year from now, he might do great. 6 more months. Who knows? But for you, listening to people or reading about lists or getting stock ideas, you need to take everything with a grain of salt. And here's a few lessons that maybe we should take to heart. First, do your own homework. Don't take someone's list and say, okay, I'm going to buy those stocks. Don't do that. And especially, don't take a list of the top performers for the last 6 months or a year and go buy those. Especially don't do that. In a down market, here's another lesson. In a down market, all stocks go down. Very few go up in a down market, no matter how good the company is. Just look at Apple. Look at Walmart. Things happen. Okay? Be very cautious about following anyone, especially well-known gurus. You know, Jim Cramer, for instance, does not manage money. So he can talk about stocks all he wants to. He can tell you to buy this or sell that. I can't. You notice I don't? I can't because I manage people's money. I can't make online recommendations or on-air recommendations. I can't do that. But he can't because he doesn't manage money. Do not listen to those gurus that are out there. If you think about it, those 49 stocks he lists, those are all tips. And you should never, ever buy a stock based on a tip. Never. Instead of those 49 stocks being tips and buying them, maybe you should just put them on a watch list. Because those stocks that he listed, because I have a list of all 49, most of them are very solid companies. Nothing wrong with them at all. But maybe you should just watch them, do your own homework on them, buy them when you think it's right for you. Not because, I'm going to buy it because he said to buy it. Just some thoughts. Let's go to Sid in Houston. How you doing, Sid?
Hey, Steve. You know, Jim Cramer was ex-Goldman Sachs.
Oh, yes. Yeah, I know. Anyhow. Yeah, I know. Notice he's ex.
Absolutely. Hey, Steve, here is the thing. Today, dollar shoot up because euro go down. And UUP actually supposed to be a dollar basket. But I have noticed one thing. If euro move, that UUP move up and down. If other currencies move up and down, it doesn't really affect much that UUP. So it seems like it's a direct correlation with euro. Of calling it a basket of currency, I think that is completely wrong. It's completely inverse of euro UUP I'm talking about.
Yeah, I look at UUP as more, I agree, I look at it more as relationship to the euro as opposed to other currencies. I look at other indicators for a relationship between the Japanese yen and other. But I do look at UUP almost every day. I really do.
I understand. I mean, if you really see Japanese yen from 70 all the way to 100 and what, 20,
yeah,
and UUP doesn't move much, but if euro moves, UUP moves. So it seems like it's right to say it's just a euro.
Much more correlated to the euro. Right. You're correct, 100%. That's correct.
Mm-hmm. Okay, my question. So whatever it called, dollar moved up today. So I was under the impression that gold and silver and all the commodities supposed to go down, but that did not happen. Mm-hmm. Is there any reason?
I don't know if there would be reason. I don't know if there was. I noticed that the GDX, which is the gold mining index, that went up today. Yeah, and you're absolutely right, Sid. Usually when the dollar gets stronger, precious metals goes down. It's that simple. And they didn't today. They bucked that trend. And now we got to figure out, well, why? Why would that happen? And it may be, just as you pointed out, Sid, it may be because it's only the euro, and it was because of Draghi's comments, Draghi, the ECB president, comments on what they might do to try to boost their economy in the EU by, you know, whatever new QE thing they might try. And that, you know, boosted just the dollar, and the UUP, again, is related mostly to the euro. So that would weaken the euro or against the dollar. But maybe it had nothing to do with any other currencies and any other. Yeah, you know, it's hard to know, Sid. I wish I was smart enough to figure that out. I'm not sure why it did that.
Okay, so just give me one quick answer. Looking at the chart of gold, yes. GLD, mm-hmm. You think it's heading up? I mean, a lot of people are saying it's already broke 200-day moving average, so it's heading up. It's already touched its high and going back. I mean, what exactly is your prediction for next 2 months? That's all. I'm going to be hanging up and listen
okay.
to you. I appreciate your show. It's a great show. Thank you.
Thank you. Actually, I think gold will probably continue to move up. I'm not as bullish. I think Justin is more bullish on precious metal than I am. I'm not that bullish because I don't. He feels that the dollar might get weaker compared to other currencies. I'm not convinced of that. I think, and I'll let him speak for himself, but I think gold can possibly move up higher. I think it's getting close to some heavy resistance, but not quite there yet. So I think we might get a little bit more, another little run on gold up. How far that, you know, if we fall into recession or something dramatic happens around the world that's bad, of course gold will keep going up. But I think we got gold that's just oversold. All the commodities were oversold, and gold is a special kind of commodity. I understand that. But I think they're all, you know, all found bottom and now are bouncing up. They won't go straight up, but I think it will go higher. Remember, no one has a crystal ball. Neither do I. I don't pretend that I'm some genius here. No. This is common sense, down-to-earth approach to investing. Okay, trying to make me and everybody else and all the listeners better investors. That's my goal. Our first priority is always answering questions, too. So let's pick a call that came in before today's program on our 24-hour listener line, 888-99-CHART.
Hello, this is Jack in Chicago. I'm a podcast listener. Back in the day, a couple of years ago, I think it was, you had recommended and I had bought some senior housing trust, ticker symbol SNH. I just looked at it today again. Unfortunately, I didn't sell mine when you had sold yours. And I think I'm down about 24% overall in the value of that investment, even though the dividend yield is over 9%. So I'm wondering what's going on here. Is this an interest rate sensitivity problem, what causes the net asset value of this to drop so much in the last couple of years, even though the dividend yield is so high? And going forward, would you recommend selling it or keeping it or maybe even buying more? Thanks.
Okay, senior housing, SNH, senior housing properties, SNH, has fallen in the last couple of years. But if I wonder if you put in, because I'm going to go back 2 years, and it was selling for like 20, I'm trying to, hold on, let me see if I can get a better number. What I'm trying to do is get a 2 year, a return based on the dividend as well as the net asset value of the actual stock going down. So it was around 22, and today is about 16. Okay, so what percentage is that? Okay, that's really what you're looking at. So you're looking about eight points on a $22 base, and that is, what, 30% or so? I'm just rough numbers, okay? And you've gotten over the same 2 years about 19% dividend yield. So your actual loss should be around 10%. 10%. Okay. Senior, it's a REIT, Real Estate Investment Trust, and leases senior housing properties in 38 states and Washington, D.C. The P.E. ratio now is 9. And the five-year range is 8 to 18. Return on equity is pretty low at 5. The dividend is 9.5% on $16 stock. So that's, what, $1.50? And it makes it about $1.86. So that, remember, REIT has to pay 90% of the income in the form of a dividend. So that's about right. So it's going to be close to that. I wouldn't sell it now. It's already been beaten up. I wouldn't sell it now. Would I buy more? Because that was the second part of your question. I'd have to look in a little deeper because, you know, like all REITs, they have debt, and I want to make sure that debt is sustainable. Sales growth is actually picking up. The growth of sales. So, and earnings are going up 5% this year and up 2% next year, while sales growth is going up 15, 19, 20%. I think I would tend to want to be a buyer of this and not a seller at this point. Not a seller. If you have some, I would definitely hold on to it. Remember, you bought this for the dividend. Dividend's still paying. They're still paying that dividend. And over time, think about it. If it's a 10% dividend, seven years, you'll get all your money that you put into it back in the form of dividend. After 7 years, it's now gravy. It's all profit. Okay, I'm just using a rule of thumb here, but I wouldn't sell at this point. I would be more inclined to be a buyer. Okay, that's SNH. Okay, it's now time for Invest Talk personal day-to-day money choices we make. Everybody makes that has a lasting impact on your financial life. Maybe you're thinking about relocating in retirement, going somewhere else, living someplace cheaper. Maybe a milder weather or lower expenses. That happens a lot. People think they can move out of California and go someplace that's less expensive. There's nothing wrong with that thinking, everybody. But what you need to do is check more than just the tax rate, the income tax rate, which I know is very high in California. You need to check more than that. For instance, on the East Coast, when I lived there many years ago and when I first got out of college, property tax was extremely high. Property tax was extremely high compared to California. No matter where you go in California, where you go in other states, I can almost guarantee you that the property tax rate will be much higher than here. Now, the values of the properties might be much lower, so the actual out-of-pocket might be less. But you also got to talk about sales tax. You know, what is that rate? You know, is it higher or lower? What are all the other taxes in the various jurisdictions that you're in? Not just focus on income tax. Take a look at all the taxes. Even how about the inheritance tax? Because there are different states have different levels of inheritance tax. And so when you pass away, you think you're leaving XYZ to your estate, your kids, and it may not be XYZ. because states also have an inheritance tax. There's a federal limit. I think, what is it, $5.43 million, $5.4 million. no federal tax, estate tax on that. But states might flap on a much lower limit. So just be aware, you got to look at everything wherever you move to. Don't just, and I recommend if you want to move out of state and go somewhere else, make sure you go there in the worst time of the year weather-wise, middle of summer, middle of winter, and stay there for a month or two and see how you like it. Because those of us living in sunny California, especially from San Francisco south, you can't complain about the weather. We have great weather. And that's InvestTalk Personal, everybody. If you want to see more about this topic, go to kiplinger.com. There's a report. We have a link to that report on investtalk.com. Look just below today's talking point. Okay, we got two more things I want to get to before the end of the show, and that is why entrepreneurs are on the decline here in the United States. And what do you think we rate in the world on entrepreneurs? What place do we have the best entrepreneurs? We have the most number of entrepreneurs, new ones coming in every year. What place would we be in if you rated us against all advanced economies? What place do you think would be? First, second, third, fourth, fifth? What? That would be an interesting. You will be surprised. And also, maybe the Fed is right to go slow on raising rates. I wish I was smart enough to know, but maybe they're right. And I want to talk about that as well before the end of the show. It may be time for a review of your retirement accounts. Remember, they are alternative. There are alternatives to what you're doing now. My San Jose meetings are November 11th. Are full up. But I do have other dates and other times. Call 888-99-CHART.
Our podcast distribution is made possible each day by KPP Financial, Steve Peasley, President. Are you approaching retirement? The specifics of retirement differ for everyone, but the broad goal is to have the financial freedom to live your life in comfort. It is increasingly important to have an executable plan that grows and protects your assets. If you would like to see what a retirement plan looks like, or you have questions you'd like to ask directly, get a note to Steve or Justin. Just go to investtalk.com and click on Contact Steve or Justin, and they will get right back to you.
888-99-CHART. So entrepreneurs are on the decline in the United States. Self-employed in 1994 represented 12.2% of the labor force. In 2014, it represented 10%. So it's been a very slow decline. This is according to the U.S. Census data. Self-employed and the workers they hire represent about 30% of the workforce in 2014. That's about 44 million people. 44 million people. Now, why the slow decline? I'm sure you, like I, thought that U.S. would be, one of the top entrepreneurial places in the world. And actually, based on the developed nations of the world, we are number 12th. 12th? I thought that was pretty shocking. Why? Well, they did have a couple of theories, but no one really knows why exactly. But one of the theories that made the most sense to me is there's been a shift away from agriculture, mining, and blue-collar type jobs in the U.S., blue-collar meaning plumbers, electricians, carpenters, whereas other developed nations are growing those kinds of jobs, agricultural, mining, and blue-collar. At least that is growing in self-employed, those kinds of jobs. In other words, you want to become a farmer, you go out and be a farmer. You want to be a miner, you go mining. You don't take as much education, just training to become a plumber, electrician, and carpenter. So maybe in other countries that's, a path to making a better living. I don't know. No one really knows. But I thought it was interesting information. Let's go and get one more question if we can. This is the anytime number, 888-99-CHART.
Yes, good morning. This is Michael from Orange County. I have a question about Apple. I'm holding some shares. I'm wondering if it's worth keeping it all the way through the earnings, which is next week. I've noticed that most of the blue chips who don't meet expectations take an average of 10% hit the day that they miss earnings. And just like to hear your thoughts on that. Thank you.
I would keep Apple, symbol AAPL, manufacturing. Everybody knows who Apple is. I mean, they're growing their earnings this year 42%. Next year, they say 7%. Sales are growing 33% last quarter, 27% the quarter before that, 30% the quarter before that, 12% the quarter before that. These are really good, high numbers. I don't think you get rid of something that Apple that has so much cash on hand. Yes, it has fallen from 130 to 115. Okay, yeah, uh-huh. But they have a huge amount of cash. They are still growing. And, you know, Apple tends to slow down in the summer. It's the stock price does. And tends to go up in the, you know, in the Christmas season area, rally, because their new phones are on sale. Now, this is the mid-year cycle for new phones. So the question is how good will the sales be? And we own Apple on our managed account, so I'm in some of our managed accounts, so I'm pretty attuned to that. And I'll tell you this, they have a huge amount of Apple devotees who still have not upgraded to that. So huge. And I think you're going to see a big upgrade. Also, Apple's doing things that I think I like when it comes to Apple Pay and trying to move into the Apple TV. The thing I'm not convinced about is the Apple Car that they're thinking about doing. I'm not sure if I'll be there if that happens. But I do think right now, I think you hold on to Apple. There's no fundamental reason. P.E. ratio is 13. The five-year average is 10 to 17. Return on equity is 34%. That's very, very good. So I think you hold on to Apple. And real quick, the Fed is right to be slow on interest rate rise. Remember, they're looking for two things. Low unemployment, which they have, and they wanted 2% inflation. We're nowhere near that. So maybe they shouldn't be raising rates. Hour's up, everybody. If you have a question for me, here's another way to ask it besides our 24-hour listener line. Send me a private note. Just go to investtalk.com, click on the Contact Steve button, send me an email. I'm registered investment advisor Steve Peasley for Justin Klein, everyone at KPP Financial. Thanks for listening, and we hope you'll join us again on the next Invest Talk.
Because of the nature of the interactive dialogue inherent in the format of this program, it's important for listeners to understand that not all comments made will apply to them specifically. Nothing said shall be taken to be investment advice, or shall statements on this program be considered an offer to buy or sell securities. Such advice is rendered solely on an individual basis, and at times will require that the investor review a prospectus before investing. Steve Peasley and Justin Klein are principals of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, a registered investment advisor. For more information regarding KPP's investment advisors, call 1-800-557-5461. InvestTalk is a copyrighted program of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, which retains all rights.